Hello and welcome to the GFSB Business Podcast. I'm your host, David Ravagliate. If this is the first time you're tuning in, then welcome. I really hope you enjoyed today's interview enough to want to catch up on past episodes and click subscribe. If you're a regular listener, then thanks and welcome back. Each podcast episode features an interview with a different leader from across Gibraltar's diverse business community. These are the people who shape how business is done here in Gibraltar. This week's guest is Peter Bering, the CEO at AADS. Stands for Africa Automotive Distribution Services, and in my opinion, it is one of Gibraltar's lesser-known success stories. As a member of the Bassadoni Automotive Group of Companies, AADS provides government organizations around the world with customized automotive solutions. The vehicles that they build and customize right here in Gibraltar support activities like peacekeeping, anti-terror, and counter-narcotics, as well as border and coast guard activities. It offers research and development, design, prototyping, testing and production expertise. And again, all of this is happening right here in Gibraltar. I met Peter at the AADS HQ. So Peter, thank you for joining me as a guest today.
Thank you for having me.
So for the benefit of our listeners, can you tell me a little more about AADS?
Yeah, so AADS is part of the Bassadoni Automotive Group based here in Gibraltar. Our focus is to provide customized automotive solutions to governments around the world to help their efforts in making this world a safer place for all of us. So the vehicles we convert here in Gibraltar are typically used border patrol, counter-narco operations, anti-terror missions by various government departments all over the world.
Wow, so those clients must be pretty demanding. What's it like having international governments as clients?
Well, international governments is a special kind of client, I guess. Clearly, they're rigidity and rules and regulations that each government work by, but what you tend to find over time is that they're also people. So behaving in the right way and creating the right relationships goes in governments as well as it does in private life. Of course, you have to accept that you're always the smaller and things have to be done to a certain standard, but it also keeps us on our toes and allows us to continuously improve.
You mentioned vehicle customization earlier. We're recording this at Bassadoni's Automotive World HQ. I can see some of the dockyard kind of workshops. What goes on in those workshops?
Yeah, so in the workshops we see right behind us here, our sister company TGS are converting many Toyotas or Toyotas for UN organizations and NGOs around the world. Our workshops currently are in Devil's Tower Road, but we'll move down here to the dockyard too, where we do the conversions of our plain standard Jeeps that come in from the US and then develop them into the vehicle that the government wants.
So how many people are you currently employing and what kind of roles do they do?
So in AADS, we're about 50 people, roughly a 50-50 split between people in the workshops and people in office type functions. But we cover the whole span from engineers that do the design of and prototyping of the vehicle builds and the vehicle elements. The mechanics, painters, welders that do all the actual conversions of the vehicle. And then inside the office here, it's everything from purchasing, logistics, procurement, over to the contract management team, who are the ones making sure that we live up to all the requirements in the contracts. And then obviously a sales team. So we span the whole value chain.
Once again, I'm delighted that you're joining me today on the podcast. Partly, obviously, because of your role here at AADS, but I think also because you have a fascinating trajectory to your current position. Much of that is marked by pretty big moves. One of those moves was from Denmark, when you were originally from, right here to Gibraltar. How did that move come about?
Yeah, that's quite interesting. It wasn't a long-planned Viking crusade. it came about in a very short space of time. I was working for Jyske Bank in Denmark and had been for more than 15 years. When the opportunity came to do corporate banking for the community of Gibraltar, something that Jyske Bank had never done outside of Denmark before. And this was an amazing opportunity for me and my family to try and do what I was trained in Jyske Bank, but do it in a completely new surrounding, new culture, new place. In the space of a couple of weeks, my family and I decided to relocate.
Wow. But that is a big move. How were those kind of early days when you arrived here in Gibraltar? How did you find settling into the community?
Well, we decided already during the recruitment process that we wanted to live in Gibraltar and be part of Gibraltar. And we decided to sell everything we had, house, car, rabbits and whatever else, and make the move full. And I think that was one of the clever choices we made, because we could fully invest ourselves in Gibraltar. And by investing ourselves in Gibraltar, we were met by open arms, of course, in those days, mainly from the bank and from people around the bank. But it made the entry to Gibraltar very warm and welcome.
Another big move, because I think that's exceptionally brave. You are coming to a different country, setting up a whole different operation here in Gibraltar. Your more recent move, however, was when you left kind of banking to join ADS. How did that move from a senior post in finance to becoming CEO of a growing automated business come around?
Well, I think I'm striving for challenges. So like the move from Denmark to Gibraltar was an extra challenge to a job that I could have probably found similar in a bank in Denmark, but it wasn't with the added new culture, new surroundings. Similar, the opportunity when it came about to join a group like the Basadoni Group, whom I've known since I moved to Gibraltar, and thereby knew the values, I knew what they stood for. I very much admired the vision of being the most admired in our field. So for me, it was a once in a lifetime to try and do something that was completely outside banking, where focus for me would be to use my people skills, my leadership skills, more than core banking skills. And even though I was a leader in the bank, it's completely different when you're in an industry where you have absolutely no training. And that was what drove me.
So when did that move happen? Which year was that?
So the move happened in 2019, at a time where Jyske Bank at the time had announced that they unfortunately would be looking for a new owner in Gibraltar and sell the bank. So of course there was that element of sort of uncertainty, you can say, in my life, but it wasn't like also looking at what's now Trusted Novus Bank, that the journey they're on is equally exciting and there's a lot of exciting things happening for them under new ownership. But this ability or this opportunity to try and be in an industry that I'd never been in before, and also a more tangible industry, setting up a production facility, actually be able to go and see the vehicle as it progresses, try dealing with types of customers that are much more demanding and that I haven't dealt with before. So all these new challenges.
Yeah, it's definitely, as you say, tangible, making things. I can see the attraction, but I'm thinking about that timing. So you joined 2019 and 2020, pandemic happened. My gosh. So how did you approach that challenge? How was that for you?
Yeah, so I guess now in the aftermath of COVID, that certainly wasn't on the cards when I decided to move. So there were enough challenges in just joining a new company and a new organization. But yeah, clearly shortly after we started and we had barely recruited the first people particularly for the workshops, and then the pandemic happened. So all these good intentions of team buildings, of getting to know each other, of being together and the normal way you would build a team, and certainly in a growing phase, let people interact, was distorted immediately. And if people weren't working from home, then they were working in segregated workshops, and the approach to building a culture became different, and to somewhat held back a bit by COVID, obviously.
The GFSB is a non-profit organisation that helps local businesses start, grow and thrive. Membership costs as little as £60 per year. Sign up now at gfsb.gi.
The company has joined much growth in a relatively short period. So if you're looking at coming through the pandemic, and actually the growth that you've had has been impressive. What have been some of the drivers for that growth?
Well, can I start with some of the obstacles?
Yes, please.
Because I think it's relevant in this context that of course the COVID situation was an obstacle that we've all been facing. But I think to the story over the last 3 years, we have to add that microchips suddenly during COVID also became something that you couldn't just get, meaning that vehicles wouldn't just be produced in the time span they had been. So your delivery times tripled on vehicles. leading to freight crisis and lack of raw materials that we're still facing, where setting up a supply chain, which is difficult enough when you're converting vehicles, and maybe even more difficult in Gibraltar, but doing it in the context where you don't really know when the next container is available, when the next boat is available, or when even the raw material can be ready to be sent to you. And just as that, I would nearly say, stabilized or is stabilizing, then Russia decides to go into war in Ukraine. And when you work with government organizations, funding streams get reallocated, everything changes, decisions are made in a different way, projects get delayed, other projects get a preference. So if we put all of that into the mix of the last 3 years, then no, it wasn't an easy time to grow AADS. But nonetheless, we're now in a situation where we've grown from 7-8 people in 2019 to about 50. But that's also meant insourcing production. So we now do all the conversions of vehicles here in Gibraltar. We do our engineering and development ourselves. And all of that has been established over the last 3 years.
Well, it speaks a lot about your leadership style and, of course, the values of the wider group, I'm sure. Going back, maybe the lens of what you've learned so far, and I think what we've all learned as a business community with COVID and all the challenges, a lot of the things we took for granted, once they were taken away, made people have to think creatively. As a leader, how did you go about inspiring your team and individuals, maybe through COVID and now post-COVID, other challenge era?
Yeah, I think, first of all, we would be nowhere without my team. That's evident. And that's meant a lot to me from the very beginning. It has in all jobs, but when you come to a completely new industry where you don't know anything, you're feeling even more dependent on the team. It has the benefit that you have to give away a lot of trust, a lot of responsibility to the people around you. But that's also what makes people grow. It's what makes you grow as a team. So yeah, I think it's really the team spirit that drives me in this. And being in a business here where there are so many different trades, different skill sets that come together to be able to do what we do. And even if I tried, I wouldn't be able to understand half of them. So the whole team, not just me and the team, but also the team in between, are significantly dependent on each other and each other's performance. And that creates something strong. It also means that sometimes you have, I wouldn't say conflicts, but it also creates the opposite sometimes. But that's what makes us strong in the end.
I think, sure. I think the theme of trust comes through very much, I think, with AADS, sure, and wider group maybe as well.
It's certainly is one of our core values, and it's fundamental for team development. And of course, COVID didn't make that easier to create that trust in between each other when you couldn't be together in the same way. But clearly, trust is important. Likewise, is our value of courage. I think everything we've done here is extremely courageous by everyone.
But including your move, I guess, you know, a lot of people can say that from finance to a different sector to this is courageous. And I think that you're showing that for sure.
Yeah, yes, that's an element too.
So who inspires you?
Yeah, so when you ask what drove me here from the bank, then there's no doubt that George Bassadoni, the owner of the Bassadoni Group, is a great inspiration to me. The way he is as an entrepreneur and as a human is very inspirational. But I get inspired also just by being with my team. They know stuff that I don't know. They let me see things and explore things that I would have never thought I would do. So I think I pick the inspiration from the little things that happen that, wow, can we do that? More than from a single person. But if I am to point one out, then certainly George here is an inspiration.
One thing I tend to ask is that when we're at work, we perform a certain way. A lot of the high leadership roles are stressful. What do you do to unwind? What are you like outside of work?
So outside of work, I don't think my wife thinks I relax. But it is what I do. I relax my mind. And I relax my mind by exercising. Long runs, cycles, predominantly. Even just up the rock. But doing long exercises is my way of...
Finding balance.
Recalibrating, yeah, finding balance.
Last question, and it's one that I ask all my guests, and it's about what's that one lesson in business or otherwise that you wish you'd learned sooner?
Probably a bit of patience would have been good.
Why is that?
Well, I just think I've had a nature of being impatient, and as year goes by, I've become better at taking a step back and think things over just one more time, either before you communicate or before you action. And I could see things in my past where maybe that would have been a benefit.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you, Dave.
So there you have it. Thanks to this week's guest, Peter Behring, and thanks to you for listening. Hit like or subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Thanks once again to the Gibraltar International Bank for sponsoring this initiative, to the GFSB team, and to Matthew Davies for all the sound. See you next time.